One of history's most powerful Italian dynasties left an enduring record of early modern Europe, one handwritten letter at a time. The Medici family, a ruling force in Europe more than 400 years ago, wrote down everything it did at home and abroad, and stored these documents in a special library. The collection survived the centuries, largely forgotten and unused, in Italy's state libraries until an American student uncovered it in the 1970s. Edward Goldberg was that student. Today he directs the Medici Archive Project, an effort to catalog this enormous and unorganized collection of letters. Goldberg says the Medici family started its revolutionary archive in the middle of a crisis.
The first Medici Grand Duke, Cosimo I, was dealing with an incredibly unstable political and social situation. He was put into the throne, as it were, in 1537 at the age of 17. He was hanging on by his fingernails. It was him and a few buddies, not knowing if they were going to be there, even alive, the day after. And the only way to keep control of the process was by writing things down, so you can remember what happened, who did what. I think this is also part of the Medici family background, because they were originally merchants, businessmen. They were used to writing things down.
They saved the letters they got, and they copied letters they sent out.
Exactly. Papers would come in, they would pile up on the desk. Then when the stack got too high, they'd be sort of taken away and bound. So they basically are still in the form in which they arrived.
How many documents are we talking about?
In the section that we're working on, the Medici Archive Project, there are about 3 million letters. Yes, I saw your eyebrows raise, filling 6,429 bound volumes. Sometimes I wake up in the night screaming, seeing the number 6,429 in flames against the wall. That's a lot of documents. It fills exactly 1 kilometer of shelf space.
And this has survived floods and wars and earthquakes for centuries.
Well, the survival of this really remarkable archive, which is the most complete archive of any princely state in early modern Europe, has survived due to a really fortunate combination of good stewardship and good luck. From the very beginning, the Medici Grand Dukes had actually full-time archivists looking after this material. Fortunately, it was kept quite high up on the top floor of this very tall medieval palace, so the air was quite dry.
Do you have a copy of a letter you could read?
One letter that I brought in is a special kind of letter. It's what we call an avviso. It is a handwritten newsletter. In the days before widespread print newspapers, princes, simply wealthy people, merchants, often subscribed to basically private news services in the major cities. And what I've brought in offers an amazingly concise and sharply focused snapshot of Roman society at 1601 in the last days of Carnival of Mardi Gras. We're talking about Pope Clement VIII Aldobrandini, and everyone else you hear about are members of his family. Domenica mattina, nostro Signore calò in San Pietro a celebrar messa. Sunday morning, 25 February, our Lord Pope Clement VIII Aldobrandini came down to St. Peter's to celebrate Mass. He personally baptized a Jew from the Carcozzi family. At the same time, he christened a German heretic who had recently converted to the Catholic faith. The next morning, 26 February, His Excellency John Francesco Aldobrandini got permission from our Lord the Pope for the people of the city to amuse themselves by going around in masks during these last few days of Carnival. To encourage others, the prior Salvestro and His Excellency's other children were the first to show themselves in the Corso with masks. And then the Jews were also allowed to begin running their races. All this week is therefore dedicated to masking games and carnival revels.
Well, that's a pretty full report then.
It is. There are a lot of things happening here on different levels. The period of Carnival was traditionally a time when the normal rules of behavior and social decorum were suspended, yes and no. So you had Jews and Gentiles, Protestants, noblemen and their own servants, whores, everyone out there mixing. But this was a very narrow window of time, a kind of sanctioned silly season, when all these kind of social forces were unleashed and hopefully neutralized for the rest of the year. Because then the lid went back on again and things went right back to normal.
Now, what are you doing with these documents?
Our core initiative is the creation of the database Documentary Sources for the Arts and Humanities in the Medici Grand Ducal Archive, 1537-1743.
But why the arts and humanities and not something else? Like,
because that's what the documents talk about in the greatest depth. Mm. What's important to remember in talking about the Medici, the arts were an absolutely crucial aspect of their identity. I think it's safe to say, people may disagree, let them, that they were the first ruling family to really identify themselves above all by their relationship to the fine arts. All the greatest artists worked for them. Their court was the most splendid in Europe. So the material is all there, all the letters in, letters out, all the inter-office memos between members of the Medici family, their secretaries and ministers of state, their friends and enemies and so forth. It's all there, but how do you find it?
Good thing they didn't have email.
It would go up in the air.
Edward Goldberg is president and director of the Medici Archive Project. Goldberg hopes to have the project completed by 2012.